Well, hello and welcome to the Georgia Baptist Foundation podcast. I'm Jonathan Gray. I'm the president and CEO of the Georgia Baptist Foundation. And I have the privilege today of having Chris Reynolds with us. And Chris is the lead strategist for pastoral wellness for the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. And as many of you know who have paid much attention to just some of the changes that the new executive director, well, I say new, he's been there about 5 years now, but the executive director, Thomas Hammond, has brought to the Mission Board, one of the strong focus has been on pastoral wellness. And so we're glad to have Chris here as Chris kind of leads that team to help our pastors. Chris, as we get started, just tell the folks in the listening audience a little bit about yourself and maybe your ministry background and how you came to the Mission Board to serve in this area.
Oh, very cool. One interesting fact about me is this is bad grammar, but good communication. I have never not been Georgia Baptist. My earliest memory in life is at Macedonia Baptist Church in Manchester, Georgia. I was sitting in church as a really small child, and the preacher walked in before the service. I jumped up and yelled, "It's Jesus," and interrupted church. So that is literally my earliest memory in life. So I've always been Georgia Baptist, because the only time I haven't lived in Georgia was when I was in seminary. But even when you're in seminary and you travel out, they consider you that. So that's an interesting fact. So my love of Georgia Baptist is deep. My experience, my mom was a woman in ministry. Oh, wow. She served at First Baptist Church Dawson as the church administrator. And so I literally grew up in church, but also at the church, working with her. So a little interesting fact in my history to Georgia Baptist. But the call to ministry started more progressive than I would say a lightning bolt. It was a realization that God was working in my life, but at the same time, not understanding what it meant to be called, because I only knew three positions: pastor, worship leader, and minister of music in that day, and or youth pastor.
That's right.
And so music was easy to eliminate. Pastor, I didn't feel qualified for, and youth pastor, I didn't know a lot of opportunities. But God wonderfully opened the door to ministry, allowed me to continue my education through seminary, and since that time now for 35 years, I've served Georgia Baptist churches.
And tell the audience just how long you've been with the Georgia Baptist Mission Board now.
Georgia Baptist Mission Board, I've been there 5 years. Pastor Wellness was started officially January of 2020. Tim Dowdy led that, and then I started unofficially then, but officially March 1 as I transitioned out of a pastorate, and so and started in March of 2020. So.
And where were you pastoring before you came?
We pastored, my wife, my family, and I, we pastored Mount Zion Baptist Church in Jonesboro for just a little over 20 years. Three of it, I was the executive pastor for the church and the school, and then almost 18 of it as lead pastor there.
That's
so,
great.
And so in South Atlanta.
Sure. Yeah, that's great. Well, tell us just a little bit. I think the folks that are listening would appreciate, you know, you are leading and have a heart for pastoral wellness. Talk to us just a few minutes why pastoral wellness is so important. What are you seeing going on in our churches with our pastors, with their families, to where you make you say, boy, this is a very important thing that we're doing?
Yeah, I think it was birthed out of my passion for it was birthed out of walking through difficult days in ministry. So Mount Zion Baptist was a very typical Southern Baptist church. People had been there for generations, and family and all of that had been passed down. But then especially our Atlanta audience would understand this. South Atlanta transitioned rapidly. Mm-hmm. And it was not just ethnic. It was socioeconomic. It was cultural. It became international. So my church sat in the middle of that. So we had three choices. We could sell and move. The church voted they didn't want to move. We could do nothing and die. And that was happening right. Rapidly. Or we could become missionaries. And so we did. We became missionaries. We had a lot of shift in people and culture and ethnicity and all of that. But in those days of learning how, one of the things I realized about myself and I realize about pastors now, they're often around people, but they still feel alone. They're isolated.
That's right.
And so I think what Pastor Wellness does is that we give them a place for community from people that understand where they are.
Sure.
But we also give them a place of confidentiality. Man, I can say it and not worried about it being the prayer request at the next meeting or whatever.
Sure.
But it's
yeah.
But you know, I think it's also a spot of communication. It's rapid change in the world. What's happening around us, the news is fast and flashing. And it's a place to process, hey, what's happening? What's going on in Baptist life? What's going on in the world? How are you responding? So I think those are some of the felt needs. Now, we have greater opportunities.
Right.
But I think those are some entry points.
Well, and I know you may or may not know this just about my background, but I pastored for 9 years before I started working with the Georgia Baptist Foundation, now almost 20 years ago. And you're right about the loneliness, because for the pastors around you, sometimes that are in your area, you're afraid to share too much because you're a little bit protective of, you know, of your flock and what's going on and just that confidentiality.
Yeah.
And it is easy to isolate yourself. So the fact that y'all are trying to create and provide an opportunity for our pastors just to have a shoulder to lean on and an ear to listen to is a great thing. Well, I wanted us today to really just kind of talk about stress as it relates to the pastor. And what are you seeing? You know, I'm not necessarily asking for research. I'm just maybe more anecdotal on what you see as you've traveled the state and as your guys are working with pastors. What are you seeing is kind of the greatest stressor for pastors in our churches?
That's a great question. There is stress. Let me affirm that. That's not a hypothetical. It is there. We're seeing this. The pastors are facing stress where they look and see the needs in their church, and they're not superhuman. But yet they feel the burden of, I have a hurting church family. I have a hurting community. I have a disconnect from my church to my community. And so they are constantly processing, pondering, praying. How do I reach? How do I serve? How do I help? And so I think that's a stress.
Do you think that's being, I guess you'd say, translated in a feeling of being a little bit overwhelmed? That there's more to do than what they have the ability in and of themselves to do? Is that some of it?
I think that's absolutely the feeling of overwhelmed. I think it's the feeling of, I'm never done at the end of the day. I go home with incomplete task. I wake up with them, and because of that growing need, the lostness, using church terminology here, the lostness of our communities, the hurt. I think that absolutely plays into it.
And I know that our pastors really, at least from the research that I've seen, experienced a significant amount of stress trying to deal with COVID. Do you feel as though that we're far enough past COVID that some of that has backed off, and or have you seen maybe a heightened level of stress coming out of COVID that maybe, even though we're now 4 years behind, it should have gone away, but it's still there? What's your sense as far as that's concerned?
I think it's still there. I think it's somewhat trauma. It's there. It's not past. It's very present. It's very felt. But, you know, during pre-COVID, churches were in a groove. Healthy or not, they were in a groove. Then COVID disrupted the groove. And a lot of pastors had to take on things that they had not normally done because they were the one at the church and other people couldn't get there.
Right.
Well, now we're far enough out of it that now I think churches are wanting to get back in the groove. And so pastors are now saying, but wait a minute, I do this. And so now there's a balancing act, if you will.
Interesting, yeah.
Of how do I now let my church back into this leadership? What's healthy? What's good? We're seeing a lot of churches look at their bylaws and say, did we have the best form? Do we need to change it?
Sure.
Those kind of things. A positive that we're seeing is we're not seeing turnover as much as we were. Pastors and congregations.
That's actually pretty interesting, because the turnover Well, what I always remembered is a typical pastor stayed about 36 months.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we're seeing pastors recognize that these are my people. This is where God's called me. It's not perfect, but let's work through it.
Well, that is good.
So I'm encouraged by that. But yes, I think there is stress. I think that stress is related to we're all trying to figure out the new normal.
Mm. Now, along those same lines, I had wondered, you know, so many of our churches, maybe if they were streaming their services, or whether that be on Facebook or YouTube or wherever it may be, you know, of course, the 20 years ago when I was a pastor, the you know, if you had church members that were listening to other pastors, it was whoever was on television.
Yeah.
You know, now coming out of COVID, a church member can listen to really any pastor in the country because everybody's streaming their services now. I'm just curious, has that changed the dynamic of how pastors think, maybe the pressure to perform? What are you seeing there? Because I know during COVID there was this pressure of we got to get our services online. Now that everybody's got their services online, what you sense there's a heightened level of stress just because everybody is online and there's a maybe comparison or the fear of comparison?
I think there's the fear of comparison. I think there's a heightened sense of, have I done my research?
Mm.
You know, am I preaching original material or am
sure.
I doing this? I think there's a lot of that because, again, I can turn on the YouTube, I can turn on Facebook, I can go to a number of places and watch. So, yes, I think that we compare ourselves to the guy that doesn't have an editing team.
You're right.
Versus the guy that has an editing team and like, well, he never makes a blunder. And I made three this week, you know, those kind of things. But I do see a continued commitment to the value of streaming. Is I may not reach but 10, but that's 10 people from somewhere around the world that is going to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
So I think that does play into it. There is a pressure, a comparison, if you will. There's the realization of I need to be fresh, I need to be good, which again is probably a little bit of a good tension.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see a resolve. I don't hear churches saying, we don't hear churches saying, man, we're going to quit that because people ought to be in the building.
Right.
There's a continued growth improvement in it as well.
Well, let me take that and just kind of go a little bit different direction with you, Chris. So I know with pastor wellness, it's not just the pastor, but it's really the pastor and his family.
That's correct.
And so we've talked a little bit about maybe some of the things that cause the pastor to have stress. What are you seeing are some of the stress factors for the pastor's family? Anything that you had mentioned as far as that would be related to kind of the broader family perspective?
I think churches need to realize that while the whole family moves to the church, they call the pastor.
Mm.
Our ministry wives serve out of a love for God and a commitment to the congregation, but they're not employed. Mm-hmm. And so I think churches could understand that. I think that when churches have unfair expectations on the pastor's wife, that's a stress.
Sure.
She may have a full-time job, be a wife, be a mom, be a church member.
Mm-hmm.
And so an understanding of that realistic expectation. I know for me, we were very blessed. Our churches, the church that we served, churches we served, the one predominantly, always came from a place of appreciation for what my wife did, not a place of judgment for what she didn't do.
Yeah, I was fortunate to serve in similar settings to where there wasn't an unrealistic amount of pressure placed on my wife either.
So I think churches, if they could understand that, look at the blessing that the family brings, not the judgment for what they may not be. My wife is a behind the scenes. She doesn't want to be on the stage. Would fuss at me if I brought her on the stage even. But yet, behind the scenes, she was serving people, loving people, organizing things. And our church appreciated who she was.
Sure.
So I think for our churches, look at what we can appreciate and look for ways to affirm that.
Yeah, that's a good word. It really is. All right, let's talk just a little bit you know, from a congregational standpoint, my hope is that we do have pastors listening to the podcast, yeah. but I'm also hopeful that we've got some church members listening to the podcast. Any suggestions or words that you'd share with those who are, you know, sitting in the pew every Sunday, they love their pastor, they want to make sure that their pastor's, you know, taken care of and the stress that he has is reasonable and managed. What would you say or suggest to that church member that wants to help alleviate stress in the life of the pastor and the pastor's family?
Be available. Recognize that he is your pastor, but he's also human. Be gracious. Be forthright with them. I think those are very helpful things. Be relational, be prayerful, be forgiving, all of those. But I think from a practical is make sure you're up to date on compensation.
That's a good word.
Not just the total amount, but am I taking advantage of the tax laws?
Sure.
That maximize it. I would say that a church, if they had a question, they could reach out to you guys and say, here's our pastor's package. How can we help them?
Sure, we'd be more than happy to help them.
And because one of the things that we've recognized, and I'm sure you deal with it way more than I do, but they'll say, here's a sum of money, and because it's not appropriated correctly, they wind up paying tax on things that could be pre-tax.
That's right.
So be up to date. Be up to date on the laws. I think look at your personnel manual. Are we offering vacation? Are we offering expense reimbursement?
Sure.
Or are we expecting our pastor out of his salary to pay for church expenses? So I think from a practical standpoint, those things are there. Look for ways to invest in him emotionally.
Mm.
And look for ways to invest in him and his family spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Be gracious in those things. So I think that is a good thing. One thing that we're seeing is that when a church has crisis, they call us, but they call us a little late in the game.
Mm. Interesting.
To where it's heightened.
Right.
So if there is a crisis, one, just first follow Matthew 18. Go sit down and say, Pastor, here's something that's going on in my life. But if there's not a resolution, before it goes, we use the term nuclear, before it goes nuclear, we're here to serve. That's part of what we do as Georgia Baptist Pastor Wellness. We help negotiate relationships, mediate conversations, those type things.
And that's great service. I know that's something that the Georgia Baptist Mission Board has done for years.
Yeah.
And that is a great service when it gets to that point. But I think you make a very strong point that a lot of folks need to hear is don't wait till it gets to that flash point.
Yeah.
You know, do something sooner than that. It's interesting you mentioned pastor compensation. That's something that's been really on my heart for years. And there's really two things about that that I just would take a point of privilege to share with those
Please.
Who might be listening. The first thing is that it bothers me when we have finance committees and church people who think they ought to pay their pastor the least they can rather than the most they can.
Yes.
And I was surprised when I stepped out of the pastorate into this role at the foundation and would have conversations. There seems to be a culture out there that thinks we're going to try to pay our pastor as little as we can, not as much as we can. And I'd love to see just a movement among our lay people to say, our pastor is important, his family's important. We don't want him to take a vow of poverty just because he, you know, decided to spend his life sharing the gospel. So I would just encourage folks to think about what your attitude is toward pastoral compensation. The second thing that's just something that's also with us being in the investment side of things, you know, Chris, for years I have been concerned, and I've actually had some folks at Guidestone document this, that the average retirement account for the average pastor is about $50,000.
That's right. At age 60,
right.
If I understand it correctly.
That's right. And where it came to my point was, you know, because we do investments, I would have folks ask me about their retirement, how to invest. Of course, we're not professional financial planners, and so we're limited on what we can share with that. That's why I direct them back to Guidestone. But when a person that's 60 sits down with me and says, what should my asset allocation be between stocks and bonds for the $35,000 that I've got in my retirement account? You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, buddy, you're going to blow through that in the first 2 months
That's
or
right.
6 months of retirement. It's really not going to matter what your investment strategy is because it's not going to last very long.
Yeah.
And from that time, I've just really felt like if our churches could understand the importance of making sure that they're setting aside resources and funds for the pastor's retirement account is just something that I've always felt like we really needed to begin to encourage our people to think about.
One of the encouraging things for us is we're being invited into seasons of transition.
Mm.
So pastors exit, getting ready to call a new pastor. And we're being invited into that transition, but we're also being asked to speak into these things. And that is one of the things that we're encouraging is, look, yes, don't jeopardize your financial future as a church, but look and say, what can we compensate?
That's right.
Maximize it. And then say, what are the benefits that we need to provide?
That's
as
right.
As well.
That's exactly right.
So I think that's a huge conversation. I'm going to make one plug for something that you guys do here at the foundation that's, I think, of utmost importance. Our team finds that a lot of our pastors and ministry leaders do not have a will to document their end-of-life wishes.
That's exactly right.
That is a resource, a service that you provide to our Georgia Baptist pastors and ministry leaders.
We certainly do.
And so, one, I would encourage the churches, hey, encourage your pastor, encourage your staff to reach out. But I would encourage the pastors, the ministry leaders listening, man, reach out to the Georgia Baptist Foundation. It's there. It's a resource. It's available. And not only does it protect your family in the untimely death, but it's pretty important for families with young children.
Oh, very much so. To be able to have a last will and testament that directs who the guardian of those young children, you know, who would take care of them is so, so important. And for most of our young pastors that have especially smaller children, and I can remember those days, I didn't feel like I had two pennies to rub together.
Right.
So I didn't feel like I had an estate. Why do I need to spend money to get those documents prepared? But really, you know, the most valuable thing we have are our children.
Yeah.
And making sure that our children are taken care of if something were to happen is a huge thing. And what you mentioned is correct. If there's a pastor listening that does not have a last will and testament or needs to update their last will and testament, that's a service that we provide to Georgia Baptist pastors and ministers. And if they can just reach out to us, we'd be more than happy to help them with that. Sure would.
So, I mean, just testimony, I'm an advocate of what you do, but I'm also a customer of what you do. My wife and I have been sitting down, and we have a will, but now we have grown children.
That's right.
We have in-laws, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, and so our needs have changed. And so we are right now in the middle of working through the document to say, help. How do we need to word this going forward?
That's right. And what you brought up is what we find to be so common, is that first, for the younger pastor, he needs to make sure he gets one for those children. But then when you walk through those seasons in life where children are now grown, you have grandchildren, maybe parents pass away, all those different seasons of life may create the opportunity to need to update the will. And so professionals will tell you really that you ought to at least look at it about every 5 years. Doesn't necessarily mean that you make changes every 5 years, but you at least look at it every 5 years to make sure that nothing in your life has changed to where you would need that. And the one that's even more important than that is the healthcare directive. So
yes,
the power of attorneys, the living wills, those types of things, because those laws actually change and those forms actually update more often than the last will and testament. So once again, certainly if there's a pastor out there that needs assistance with that, we would be more than happy to help them. Well, let's kind of keep moving forward just in talking about pastor stress. Y'all really do a lot to try to help pastors. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could just take a few minutes and mention some of the things and some of the resources that y'all have available to pastors on the mission board side in case they're not aware of those things.
Yeah, that's good. So one, obviously, stressors in a pastor's life. What is my health? I don't have health insurance. I don't go to the doctor. Well, at all of our retreats, which you also are at as the foundation, we bring our medical team. So on my team, I have a nurse practitioner, and She is at our retreats, the Georgia Baptist Convention, the events that we do, and she does blood work, urinalysis. Once a year, we provide mammograms for ladies.
That's great.
And all of that's through the generosity of foundations and donors that help us do that. So, in fact, that's how our ministry is sponsored. And so the healthcare side of it we do. We also partner with the Georgia Baptist Dental, Mobile Dental Unit, mm-hmm. so that we can provide dental care. But in addition to those things that are physical health, for our Georgia Baptist pastors, ministry leaders, and their families, we have contracted with Christ-centered counseling centers around the state. Okay. And we provide counseling for the minister, the spouse, and the dependent children to have access to counseling. And it's relaxing, but there's still a little bit of a stigma to going to a counselor. But I want to say that we're seeing that change, thank goodness. But it is available. It can be done in person. It can be done virtual. So that's available to them. But then some of the things we do through the generosity of just businessmen around the state that have a heart and a love for pastors is that there are golf tournaments we do. And you say, what's the value of a golf tournament? Well, they go, meet others, hang out, build relationships so that when they are feeling isolated, now they've got a friend they can text or call. So, yeah, we do simple things like fishing events or golf events, significant events like healthcare, counseling, dental care.
That's great.
Those things as well. All of it understanding that if we have a relationship, we have a friend. If we have a friend, we have someone we can call.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm not alone.
And that makes such a big difference when you got mm-hmm. somebody that's kind of in the trenches with you.
Who can relate to you.
Yeah. Let me take us just one other thing I want to talk about before we end our time together. Let's talk about what you're seeing from a sabbatical standpoint, because I think about stress and pastor stress. I know from those days that I was pastoring, you know, some one person made the joke that it was like you had to fill out your taxes every Sunday morning. You know, it's that the pressure of filling out your taxes by April 15th. It was like April 15th came every Sunday morning because you had to have everything together and have it together on time. You know, so a lot of folks may not realize as much as the pastor enjoys communicating and preaching the sermon, the pressure each week to get that together is a stressor. And so I'd love just to kind of hear what you're seeing from what churches are offering from a sabbatical standpoint, or even when I say sabbatical, I'm not talking necessarily months off. I'm talking about just throughout the year. What are churches allowing pastors to be out of the pulpit just throughout the course of a year?
We are seeing a growing interest in the word sabbatical in the traditional sense of it's some weeks off or something like that. So there is, the conversation is coming up. It's a conversation where churches are saying, how do we do it?
Mm-hmm.
Can we do it? If we do, which by the way, one of the resources that Georgia Baptist provides is that if your pastor needs to be out or it's planned, then we have members of our team who can either supply personally or connect you to people that we have vetted to supply. So it's not X number of weeks with no one in the pulpit.
Sure.
Reach out to Pastor Wellness and we can help connect them to people who can very capably fill their pulpit. So that's one thing. We are seeing that churches are being more open to the idea of my pastor, well, we may not give him 2 months off, but we can give him Sundays that are not just vacation Sundays mm-hmm. to let somebody else preach. That's a positive. Mm-hmm. On the other side of it, I would invite churches that haven't been open to it or beginning to consider it. Again, reach out to Pastor Wellness. That's why mm-hmm. we're here, is to help them responsibly navigate the health of their pastor and staff.
Yeah, and I would just like to kind of add to that, Chris, especially for those that may be lay people that are listening. You know, the church that I grew up in, every July, the pastor basically did not preach. It didn't mean he didn't work in July. He just didn't have the responsibilities right. of preparing a sermon in July. And so every Sunday in July, somebody else preached. Mm-hmm. And what was very interesting with that is that he was encouraged by the lay leadership of our church to go visit other churches, because mm-hmm. pastors never get to see what's going on in other churches to get fresh ideas and to have their batteries charged from a good sermon. Yeah. And just saw where that was something that I can remember sitting in the pew as a high school student looking forward to the summers, because I knew that there were going to be different people preaching. And I knew also that when he came back from that time off, boy, the messages were so much stronger, because yeah. he had the chance to recharge his batteries and refresh and really dig into the Word and do some of the things that he felt like the Lord had been leading him to do as far as studying and other things. And so maybe it's just, once again, kind of that point of personal privilege, but I can tell you from my own experience, I have seen where pastors given 2 or 3 weeks or the month, and summertime is really a good time to do that, for them to recharge their batteries and do some of those things. I would just encourage all of our churches to think about that for their pastors.
And if it's not been their norm or their culture, again, we want to help them responsibly navigate it. Okay. And we'd love to do that. I also served a church, the one I served for 20 years. They encouraged it. What right. I saw out of that was God called people to preach. Mm-hmm. What I saw out of that was I was energized from it. My people, I used to tell them, I love Andy Griffith's show, but I don't want to watch it every day.
That's right.
So every once in a while, I want to slip in a little something different. And it makes them appreciate other voices, other input. But also, I think it, like you said, if I can go somewhere and see somebody else do it, mm-hmm. it's encouraging. It's uplifting.
That's right.
Definitely.
Because the pastor never really gets the opportunity to do that if the church doesn't allow it.
Right.
And I would just say along those lines is it's, once again, I think that the pushback has been, at least from some of the conversations I have had, is it's not vacation. It's really, you know, if you think of an athletic season, you've got prep before the season happens. Yeah. And you know, you even talk about with us in, you know, potentially entering into football, or when this is released, maybe right in the middle of football season. You know, if you can imagine a football player playing a game week after week after week after week, never having a bye week, mm-hmm. never having 2 days to begin. I mean, just mm-hmm. you think of it in that light, that's really what the pastor is being asked to do Sunday after Sunday, with no opportunity to, in a sense, heal, or the opportunity to sharpen his game or whatever it may be. And so, once again, not to belabor that point, but just to encourage people that might be listening to consider one way to help the stress level of pastors would be to give them that opportunity to recharge their battery some.
Yes, and again, there's a lot of ways to do that. A lot of ways to do it. It doesn't have to be consecutive weeks. It can be weeks throughout the year. It can be a lot of different ways to do that. So I agree. I would encourage that.
And I'll say one of the things as we kind of bring our conversation to a close, you had mentioned pastor compensation, and we talked a little bit about that. One of the things that the Georgia Baptist Foundation offers is what we call the Church Financial Conference. And if you'll go to our website, you can see we'll be getting the information for 2025 up here in the next few weeks. We typically do those in the spring of the year. But the last several years, we have brought someone either from Guidestone or another financial professional in to really help church treasurers, financial secretaries, and finance committee members just kind of understand some of those ways that you were talking about. So if they're looking for a resource in that, then then we've tried to provide a direct resource that they can come and be trained and learn more about that to try to help in the pastor compensation standpoint.
One of the scenarios we looked at that did not cost the church any more money, but because of how they structured the money that they were already allocating, the pastor got a $3,000 raise.
Wow.
Yes. In fact, if they reach out to us, we can connect them to a Guidestone resource that'll show them that exact scenario.
That's great.
And again, the church has given the pastor a raise, but it didn't cost them any more money, just in how they put resources on the page.
And a lot of that is tax savings.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and I'll say from the foundation's perspective, you know, we believe the scripture where Jesus says, "Render unto Caesar what Caesar's." But my preference is not to render unto him a penny more.
That's exactly right. Yeah. We hold the same philosophy. Yeah. But I do. I appreciate the partnership with the Georgia Baptist Foundation, the support from, as we are walking beside pastors and their families. I appreciate the support, not just of the moral support, but the physical, actual in-the-room support where you sit down with our pastors, our ministry leaders, and help them answer some of the questions that are causing them stress. So thank you.
Oh, we're glad to.
Yeah.
And once again, me being a pastor for many years myself, I just have a heart to see the guys in our churches just really have what they need to be able to do the best job God's called them to do. Well, Chris, as we kind of end our time together, just curious, are there some ways for those listening, the Georgia Baptist family, that we can pray for the Pastor Wellness Ministry and what you're doing, and maybe even some ideas if we just wanted to pray for our pastors in our state, some things to be praying for?
How to pray for Pastor Wellness is we are a mobile ministry. We are dispersed around the state in the six regions, north, east, west, central, east, west, south, east, west. And so we are often on the road, so often traveling. Pray for us as we travel.
Very much so.
Pray for us as we step into situations that we would be wise to listen, slow to speak. One of the verses that we use is Colossians 1:9, and it says, from the moment that we heard about this, we have not ceased to pray for you. That you would have wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Yeah, that's a good word.
And I would invite Georgia Baptist to pray for us that way, that we walk into situations and be the calming effect, and that, but that we would be good stewards of what's been entrusted to us.
That's good.
The resources, yes, but good stewards of the lives of the pastors and their families. And that would be helpful. How to pray for the pastors, ministry leaders around the state, that as they serve 24/7, that they would make the priorities of God, family, and know how to do that, that their churches would grant them that grace as well, and that they would be protected, because I firmly believe that there is a heightened attack, spiritual attack, satanic attack on the families, the homes, and that our churches would not cease to pray for them. Pray that God would raise up as Moses needed an Aaron and a Hur to see the battle, that church members would feel the burden to assume that role, to lift the hands.
That's right.
And to strengthen and support.
You know, Chris, and as we kind of come to our time, just to finish up this podcast, I'd like to just take a moment, and if there's a pastor listening to this podcast that's, you know, is struggling, is stressed, and just feels like there's nobody there to help him, or maybe he's embarrassed, you know, I think it's important for us to realize that all pastors are not perfect because we're imperfect people. We're striving to be like Christ and act like Christ and live like Christ, but there's no perfect person, pastor, out there. There's no perfect pastor's marriage. There's no perfect pastor's children.
That's right.
And there's no perfect pastor's church or whatever it may be. And if there's someone within the sound of my voice that's afraid or embarrassed because they think they've not lived up to the expectations that they should have, but they need some help, I would just encourage them to call on Chris and the team there at the Pastor Wellness Team at Georgia Baptist. Chris and his team genuinely want to help you. And don't be embarrassed or afraid to reach out for help, because these guys love pastors and want to make sure that you have what you need to get through the difficult time you're dealing with. So, once again, if there's a pastor listening to my voice, just want to encourage you to reach out and get the help that you need so that you not be overwhelmed by all this. Well, Chris, thank you for giving of your time to come and visit with us. And we appreciate all that you're doing to not only help pastors that have stress in their life, but all the other things that are challenges for them. And we pray God's blessings on you and the other guys that are serving throughout the state to try to help make sure that our pastors have the resources they need to be the men of God that God's called them to be. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank y'all. Thank you for what you're doing, for the partnership. Blessings.
Yeah, you're most welcome. And for those of you listening to the podcast, we'd just like to say thank you for giving of your time to join with us today. And we look forward to having the opportunity to share with you in future podcasts.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to rate and subscribe to our podcast content so you don't miss an episode. At the Georgia Baptist Foundation, we exist to help churches and their members faithfully steward all that God has blessed them with while effectively leveraging their resources for kingdom purposes. We do this in two primary ways. First, we help individuals include gifts in their estate plans and provide assistance with establishing charitable annuities and trusts. Second, we offer long-term, morally screened investments that allow churches and ministries to better steward ministry dollars. If you want to learn more about how we can help you or your church do more with the resources God has blessed you with, contact us at our website at www.gbfoundation.org. Connect with us on social media as well to stay up to date with our latest podcast content, as well as news on educational events and opportunities.